chanson. Écoutez, répétez.
Okay, did we get my theme in there, Steve?
He's the father of cubism.
There you go. Good.
Cezanne,
Cezanne.
The father of cubism.
Right. Okay. Well, good morning. Zachary is here this morning. Zachary Kircher. And he's an old friend because I had him on years ago. And the reason I had you on, Zachary, is because I found some letters to the Oregonian. Do you remember
when
you used to write?
I was one of those cranks back then. Yeah, writing letters to the Oregonian.
What were you cranking about? I forget.
I forget, too. It's probably just as well.
Well, he has a very important painting in the biennial.
It was about art, though. It wasn't.
It was about art. I think it was about the Oregonian's attitude towards art or something like that. And but you, it wasn't just one letter. It was a number of letters over a period of time.
Yeah, I was kind of an awkward version of Jeff Yawn back then or something. I don't know.
Really? Yeah. An awkward version of Jeff Yawn.
Nothing smooth about me.
Jeff Yawn is the computer artist here in town, and he's a collector of computes, is what and what else, I forget. Anyway, but he's part of the art world, a serious part of the art world now. Okay, I want to say once again that you do have one of your paintings has been chosen for the biennial. Two of them. Yeah. You have two in the show right now. And congratulations for that.
Thanks.
And you are a former member of the Savage Gallery. And how long were you a member of the Savage Gallery?
Oh, she represented me probably 10 years or longer, yeah. She did what she could.
Okay. Do you want to describe your work, how shall we do this? I would like people to get a vision of how you go after your painting or your, what do you think? I want to know what you think.
Well, I always have the impulse to do a figure. I mean, I'm one of those old figurative painters in a lot of ways, but then I try to make that kind of thing relevant, so I try various strategies. I remember in earlier days, I would kind of sneak figures in as, you know, just another object in the non-space of my canvas, you know.
In the non-space?
Well, non-pictorial space, you know, collaged in with other...
With other things going
other
on.
Other things going on, yeah.
Yes.
But still, I always have this impulse to do a figure.
And you graduated from Portland State University.
Yeah,
and,
a long time ago.
Yeah, and you had a show at the Lippmann Gallery. That's the first big show I ever saw of yours, even though I had seen your work before that. And how many years ago was that?
Must be at least 11 or 12 years, I guess.
And you've been on KBOO a few times since then.
Yeah, it was shortly after then, you know. It's been 10 years since I talked to you, Julie, and basically that's about how long it's been since I've talked about art, you know. I've just been doing it and keeping my mouth shut.
Well, most of the artists do.
Yeah.
But we sometimes get together and discuss what we've seen in the biennial, and I think that's important, don't you? Think it's important to discover what Gately sees, for instance, in her choices.
Yeah, it was interesting, and I'm really gratified I was gratified that I was included somehow, at least through my eyes. My work didn't kind of fit in with the rest of the show.
Well, Boaz's work fit in with the rest of the show? The show is, nothing fits
however,
in.
However, I mean, I was grouped with I could see why I was grouped with Tharp and
Let's describe.
My work was edged into the show like I used to edge figures into my earlier work. You know,
Sort of slipping out. Your paintings have this very casual look to them. They're not finished, but the drawing is good.
They're not finished. That's the look. You know. I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, Alex Katz. I mean, would you say his? I mean, his work is finished. It's the immediate. I mean, that's the aesthetic.
Okay, Zachary.
Yeah.
Now tell me why you have frames on these pictures also deliver a message. Describe it, can you?
Yes, I thought it was kind of a clever thing to do to paint a performance installation piece. I'm basically do a picture. And since it's a picture, and I rarely do kind of pictorial space, I thought, well, it needs a frame like a traditional picture, and with information on the frame like you would see in a museum. You know.
Very often people look at paintings and they say, what a beautiful frame.
Oh, yeah. And there was, you know, double meaning, of course.
This is sarcastic.
The fictional... Fictitious performance artist, has a very nice frame, and so does the picture, you know.
So, okay,
yeah.
I see.
Yeah.
Well, let me describe a little bit about what the biennial is. The biennial of 2006 has been chosen, the paintings and other pieces of art that are in the biennial have been chosen by Jennifer Gately, Arlene, and Harold Schnitzer, curator of Northwest Art. And she's our new curator. And show will be from July 29th through October 8th. I've forgotten how many paintings and how many pieces there are in the biennial. Do you remember?
I don't think I ever counted.
I can't remember. But
had at least two or three pieces, you know.
Everybody had three works in there, chosen.
Two or three. Yeah.
And she worked really hard for over a long period of time selecting artists in this community and outside the Portland community also for the biennial. And what do you think of this show?
I think it's presents a coherent view of what's going on especially among the younger artists in town. And as I say, she included kind of side channels of, you know, like my own, and also well-established kind of people who have been doing what they've been doing forever, like Lucinda Parker or Michael Brophy. I mean, he's not that old. But
Well, how about Zach Kircher? He's doing what he's been doing for quite a few years, too.
Yeah.
How have you changed? Have you changed...
Well, I don't do too much, I don't do the kind of overt collaging that I did, you know. One of the things she used to say about why she kind of was attracted to my work, this was years ago, is that...
This is Tracy Savage of the Savage Gallery.
My work reminded her of David Sally's and, you know, stuff.
Yeah.
Things that were going on. But I'm not, you know, I'm not still doing David Sally, like David Sally, unfortunately, is still doing her. But, I'm still doing figures and in space that is somehow violated by something else going on. So it still has that in common with my earlier work.
Do you think that your work is a little bit sarcastic?
Well, especially these days, because it has... my subject matter seems to be artists and art.
And one of these paintings is actually a portrait. It's a portrait of three people, isn't it?
Well, actually, that's what Jennifer thought. I just told her, you know, they're just art people. But I think she, according to her catalog essay, she thinks that's of me and of two art dealers. Well, it's not of me, obviously. You know.
It doesn't look like
me. No, it doesn't look like me, but maybe she forgot how I look.
Yeah. It doesn't bear your character.
And
exactly.
Maybe one of the girls looks like
Tracy.
Laurel Gitlin, and the other is an early Tracy, but I know.
But did you intentionally?
No.
You did not intentionally.
But it could be maybe it's just a subconscious. But they just look like art people to me.
They look like your usual people that you are valley girls.
Well, they're all,
they're valley girls. They're mod, they're young, they're quite good-looking, but they have expression. They do have expression, but even though it's a little vapid.
Well, go to any art opening and you see us.
Do you? You said us.
We vapid, you know.
It couldn't be. I think that as a group, the artists are fairly interesting people, though.
Yeah.
And they're not vapid.
Well, they. Okay.
You don't want to argue that?
There's no point. It's just, you know, there are. There's no point in arguing.
Okay. But you will. Admit that there is a certain amount of sarcasm in your work, and that's what makes it interesting, really. It is a comment on a certain kind of person.
And that's right, and the viewer can imagine that. Well, that's somebody other than me, obviously. So, that's the vapid kind of person that looks just like me.
Okay, what is? In this painting, there is a very large red and white, appears to be a wooden frame, right in the middle, goes right up between
interrupts
the space between the figures.
Well, that's the art that's interrupting, or that's between, the piece is called Art Between Us,
Okay, and so that is a piece of art that he's looking at and she has.
No, it's not clear that either of them or any of them are looking
at
it.
You see how...
It's just there.
I'm reaching for a story here.
Well, you're reaching for pictorial space that they're all inhabiting and they aren't, because they're all in their own little worlds, and that's how I construct pictures.
They
anyway.
Are storybook figures for me, that's why. They reflect this... a storybook figure, an illustration. That's
earlier, before we were on air, you were commenting that the figures and the objects in my paintings don't seem to necessarily relate to each other.
No, they don't.
Except in terms of composition.
They're almost even falling out of the frame.
Yeah, well, they're... You know, that's
you
very
don't want
conscious.
To hem them in?
That's very conscious, and I'm
okay.
I have fun with organizing my two-dimensional space, you know, within the grid, whatever.
Okay, now, can you the one that's called Nice Frame? There's a woman who's kind of falling out of the picture. She's stepping out of the picture, and a guy who's looking into the picture.
And if you'll notice, there are different scales, too, like medieval paintings would have a saint who would be half again as big as the donor who would also be included in the painting. He's kind of the donor figure, and she's the saint. Yeah.
And he's looking very closely.
Yes.
He's bent over with his hands in a knot behind his back. We don't see his face.
Yeah.
He's examining
the canvas.
He's
really,
or whatever.
No, he's in the canvas, but he's observing the performance.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Do you do a lot of drawing? And before you finally come to the original, the painting that's in there, do you draw a lot?
Actually, I don't draw on paper at all.
You just step up and leave it loose.
I just put something down and think, okay, what next, you know?
Uh-huh.
And I will go through old magazines or whatever and kind of come up with ideas, so I lay them out on the floor in front of me and sometimes pin them up on the wall next to the canvas. And I borrow an element from, no figure is ever lifted totally. You know, an elbow from one and the turn of the head from another and whatever. It's totally constructed. And then when I kind of arrive at a pose or whatever for a figure, I'll scour through more magazines to see if there's something like it so that I could lift more, you know.
I see.
Because, you really are informed by some model there, but I've been doing figures forever, so, you know, I basically paint from knowledge, but usually I never find something that looks exactly like what I want, so I end up just, oh, hell, finish it.
It's finished.
It. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And you then grabbed a knife and carved something into the frame, some words into the frame. And how did you come to that decision to?
Well, it's an elaborately carved frame, which I carved myself.
Yeah.
And
they're both and frames then, are carved.
Well, the other canvas doesn't have it just has a strip frame.
Does it?
Yeah. But anyway, I just thought I would label this what it is, you know, a depiction of Muffy Henderson and her May-June performance, 2005.
How come they're always Muffy?
I don't know. She looked like a Muffy to me.
Those girls are always Muffy.
I don't know.
It's a sort of a sweetsy name.
Yeah.
Her name really is Madeline.
Okay, something like that.
And then somebody started calling her Muffy when she was a little girl.
Yes, yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, what does it say on the frames again? A message. What's the message on the frames?
Well, it's just a Muffy Henderson performance, performance installation, abbreviation installation. May-June 2005 with viewer. And, yeah, it's a labeled traditional frame like you would see in a museum.
Okay.
And I thought it was just an interesting idea to paint a performance and installation piece of my own invention.
And it works.
Yeah.
And that those, you know, there aren't very many paintings in this show. Mm-hmm. Do you notice that?
Yes, I do. Painting is not in at all. And I don't know, it seems like the galleries are... This says something very... Well, I mean, there isn't that much painting, or good painting, I guess, going on anymore, because it isn't selling, because I guess the galleries are keeping on message. That is... they've heard that painting isn't in anymore.
You have to do some... Well, there are a lot of different mediums to use.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are digital.
Well, sure.
and it's movies.
It's always... And it's a matter of what's being taught in the university departments and in the art schools. Painting, I don't think, is really being taught that much anymore.
Do you think it's a confused time in art? Do you think that there is a lot of... questioning kind of what
well yeah,
and,
yeah.
and change and confusion?
Know, lot of artists are tired of the tyranny of the history of painting, you know. So
yeah,
they,
good.
They just want to get away from it.
That's a good description,
and
Zachary.
But there are a few of us, you know, there's always room for some of us eccentrics, and some of us groove on the history of painting and still find something vital about it and try to make it relevant today. And, you know, there's a whole school in Leipzig, you know, that, I mean, in bigger towns you would have German galleries opening branches in, say, New York, bringing, you know, all these painters from overseas who still are seeing something in what paint does on canvas and how it relates to figure painting or whatever. And, but then you open up Art Forum, and basically it's objects and installations. And but then, deeper in the pages, there's at least references to what's going on, you know, kind of sidelines, carrying on of the tradition. And so that's kind of what Jennifer did with this exhibit. I mean,
yeah.
She included somebody like me, which, you know.
Sure.
Is something, you know.
Well, you're a very good example of one of the kinds of art that's happening right now, which is very close to magazine art, I think, in some respects. You said a little while ago you connected a little bit to the style of magazine art.
Yeah,
didn't
but
you?
But you know it.
I don't want to get
there's
you wrong.
There's an interchange, fine artists borrow from advertising art, and then advertising art borrows from fine art, and
about
back and
comic
forth.
Strips.
Oh, sure.
Look at that. Well, I mean, we've got everything, and we're putting it up there, and it's art. It's art. It has been art.
If somebody makes it art, you know, it doesn't matter what you're borrowing from, it's what you do with it. And
is this confusing? It's very confusing
to
my
listeners.
You say
that, it may be confusing to...
Yeah.
You know, the art market here is not that big, and we're kind of a subculture.
Uh-huh.
And the people who actually buy art are even a sub-subculture, you know. And and so the poor galleries have to appeal. They don't want to confuse people too much. So that's why
I need to ID the station right here, Zachary. Excuse me. This is 90.7 FM in Portland and 91.9 FM in the Columbia Gorge, 100.7 FM in the Willamette Valley. And I'm talking to Zachary Kircher this morning, who has work in the Biennial, which is now at the Portland Art Museum. And we're discussing his work, and he's going to continue to describe what he does and what the art scene is. There are a lot of different mediums being used and a lot of different ideas going around, and they're all for the taking to use in art these days. And we were just discussing the use of comic strips and comic drawing in art today,
especially
the mediums.
Especially among a lot of the younger artists, especially those that go to Brooklyn for a time and come back. There's just a school of sensibility. Go see Laurel Gitlin's gallery. You know, she has a lot of Brooklyn artists, and it's kind of a fantasy world on paper. What we did when we were teenagers up in our room, or created a fantasy world. And again, it's whatever you borrow from, you make it art, and so.
Laurel Gitlin, please describe where her gallery is. Can you tell? Where is it?
Well,
in
it
New
used
York?
To. She took over the old Tracy Savage space over there.
Okay.
Yeah, under the
Tell
Hawthorne
me about
Bridge.
That. I think people don't know that and should. What's the gallery called? I know where it is.
Oh,
it's
yeah,
on,
it's...
On 4th?
Oh, shoot.
Southeast.
I just know it's... Oh, God. Well, sorry,
Is that
Laurel.
Okay?
big... No, it's small A art or something. A small A...
Yeah, I think that's what it is, something like that.
It's I'm sorry,
the word
Laurel.
Little or small is in there. Well, we'll get her on
Yeah, you K-Boo. Should. You should. She's very interesting.
I've not
I was,
been there.
I was so, you know, she doesn't usually suffer old fools like me, but she happened to like the last show that Tracy, and it was Tracy's last show, and it happened to be mine. I closed uh-huh. down Tracy Savage. Yes.
Did you really?
Yes. And, but, so, I mean, and usually she doesn't like old painters, but... She seemed to like my work okay.
Yeah. Well,
which was nice, you know. You know, it's good to have positive feedback from younger artists and
characters. Your work is very understandable for one thing, and it's a comment on the truth.
Yeah.
I mean, there are these people.
Yeah.
and they're okay. They're acceptable.
Well, yeah.
There's nothing wrong with them.
You know, artists...
But they're fragile.
Yeah, but a whole lot of artists kind of use as their subject matter things that they are both attracted to and appalled
yeah.
at the same time. I don't know, that's kind of the human condition in a lot of areas, you know.
I think the biennial is very expressive of the, quote, human condition.
Oh, yeah.
Very much so. And I think that's why it appeals to me so. It's so
yeah.
alive.
Yeah.
There's... a lot of different mediums be used, the painters are used. We've got movies for mm-hmm. the first time. Very full of pathos, the movies.
Oh, yeah.
And as a medium, it's been very well done. And I think that whole room full of mm-hmm. The quietude of those movies is a wonderful addition yeah. to the biennial.
Sure. But, you know, I'm partial to the old mark makers, you know, and...
they're important, too,
yeah.
and you're
that's
that.
Why
that's what you
I
do.
Like everybody, like everybody else, I really like Storm Tharp's thing, you know.
Everybody and likes Storm
I know, and he's good.
Oh, yeah.
And I sure liked Anne Fiddler's stuff, Anna Fiddler.
Yes,
yeah.
Those are beautiful.
Yeah, yeah.
Those are very beautiful.
I related to that.
Yeah.
And then, of course, I appreciate lots
Fine
of other
craft.
Work.
Fine craftsmanship,
yeah.
yes, and but they also convey a kind of a formal beauty, kind of a formal beauty, which
yeah.
just takes pasting and cutting.
It's kind of the fantasy space alone up in your room, and you know, that's probably what she's borrowing from.
Okay. Let me see now, what else was I going to ask you? Well, we were going to talk about, we did discuss Muffy Henderson and Art Between Them. I think we've covered that pretty much, don't you?
Yeah.
So now, as the biennial as a whole, do you have a favorite piece of work in there other than your own? That you would like to discuss?
Well, as I mentioned,
we have
Storm Tharp's.
Storm Tharp,
yeah.
Okay.
I have to say that I thought in the painting the black background was a little bit heavy. I would have done it differently, but that's equivalent among painters. You know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Zachary, we have about a minute and a half, during which time I will say where your work is once again, the biennial, which is in the Portland Art Museum until October 8th. And I think everybody should go. I always think everybody should go to the biennial. I look forward to the biennial myself because I think it's a very important show. And I would like to thank Zachary Kircher for coming this morning.
Great.
And did I say that you were a graduate of PSU? And
but that was a long time ago.
You studied with Mel Katz.
Yeah.
And remember Mel Katz as a very fine teacher.
With various, but he was one of my favorite And even though I don't paint anything like him, do anything like what he does, I learned many things from him.
Yeah.
The seriousness and that, being self-critical and putting yourself in context, etc.
Okay,
he made art serious for me.
I'm hearing my music.
Okay.
Thanks a lot for coming this morning. Don't leave Portland.
Okay, we'll see.
We need to see you around here.
Okay.
Okay, and thanks again. And this is Julie Bernard. Thank you, Steve. I got a new producer again this morning. And this has been Art Focus.
People say that it was Picasso. Other people claim it was the Chirico. Some people think it was Modigliani. But they're all crazy. It was Paul Cézanne. Cézanne, the father of...
Well, thank you, Julie. You're still listening to KBOO Community Radio, 90.7 on your FM dial in Portland, Oregon. I'm going to have one more message, and then we'll get on with Democracy Now!
I'm George Takei, Exclusion and Resistance on Crossing East.
Angel Island was known at the time as the guardian of the Western Gate.
One year they say you're white, but not Caucasian, and the next year they say you're Caucasian, but not white.
And it was clear that America was telling the immigrants that we don't care about you and that we blame you for our welfare ills.
Crossing East on this radio station.
That's next Tuesday at 10 a.m. here on KBOO 90.7 FM.